Attention all groups. This is Admiral Akbar with your Armada advice. If you reroll a die using an effect, you can reroll that die again if you have another effect that permits it. For example, if a red die came up blank and you use a concentrate fire token to reroll it, if you're unhappy with the result, you can use leading shots to reroll it again. Assume attack coordinates, and may the Force be with you.
At last we will deal with these rebel scum. You may fire when ready.
Welcome, Commanders, to the 10th episode of Fire When Ready, a Star Wars Armada podcast. I'm Jim. First of all, in case you missed it, my scenarios from my store League are up at firewhenreadypodcast.com to check out. Lots of Armada news this week, as we get both new FAQ and tournament rules, and the reveal of Wave 3. The FAQ had a couple of nuggets in there, namely that the gunnery team's upgrade overrides the advanced gunnery mission. This will have a big impact on Imperial players' mission choices, as that objective was a favorite to put in to force an opponent into a hard choice rather than let an ISD hit the same ship twice. I suggest Precision Strike to replace it, where you can really rack up the victory point tokens with all those dice. It also ruled that ships that are touching are not overlapping, among some other card interactions, so you should check it out. The tournament rules, on the other hand, well, they were a mess. A hefty portion of the document was lifted directly from X-Wing, and then they snuck a new version out that fixed the more egregious errors, like the first player placing the first obstacle and having no mention of objective selection. But it still said that you have to deploy squadrons inside the deployment area, so it was unclear if any of the other changes were correct or not. Fortunately, they put out another corrected version that properly listed the changes, and now we know that head-to-head is indeed the new tiebreaker, and not just a copy-paste error. Regionals will be the first time that we'll play a big tournament under the new rules, and I think they're a definite improvement over what we had before. Now, on to Wave 3, which is... two tiny ships? Or should I say, flotillas? Am I disappointed? Yeah, a bit. Hopefully there's going to be another wave right on the heels of this one, and Wave 3 won't take 6 months to get here, but I am excited about the new ships. Having inexpensive, dedicated support ships, especially ones that can affect bombers, is something I'm really looking forward to. I'm also really looking forward to what the new titles will do. I'll talk more about these new ships as we get more information revealed. Today's ship is the Rebel MC-30. I was nervous a while back about doing a rundown on the 30 because I wasn't quite sure about how to handle it, but now it's one of my favorite Rebel ships. The 30's weapon loadout makes it look like a bruiser, but it's a glass cannon that has trouble staying in the fight past a couple big hits. It's also fairly pricey, so having one of them go up on you is a real letdown. But let's get down to brass tacks, though. The MC-30 comes in two variants, the longer-ranged, pricier scout frigate at 69 points, and the closer-ranged torpedo frigate at 63 points. Both have four hull and a sturdy 9 total shields, with 3 in each facing, except the rear, which has 2. Both throw a single blue die against squadrons, both are 2 command, 1 squadron, and a solid 3 engineering. They both top out at speed 4, where they're actually rather stiff for maneuvering, with only the 2 middle joints getting a single click. Really, the only place they're different is in their anti-ship battery armament. Even then, they both throw the same amounts of black dice in every arc. It's the other dice that are the only differences. The scout frigate fires blacks and reds, while the torpedo frigate throws blacks and blues. For the record, that's 2 blacks and 1 red or blue out the front, 3 blacks and 2 red-blue from the side, and 1 black, 1 whatever out the back arc. Talking about upgrades is going to be very straightforward, as the MC-30 has only one role in a battle, a damage-dealing ship killer. The difference between it and other ship killer builds is that the MC-30 is a more fragile ship with limited defensive capabilities, even more so than the Gladiator, so there's some key upgrades needed to keep it in fighting shape that other ships could skip. For officers, I personally keep this empty. At Command 2, they're flexible enough to not need any order-switching help, and they're too fragile to bloat with unnecessary points. If you really feel the need to, though, the two that you should look at are Wallix Blissex, so that you can burn a defense token with impunity when you're close up, and he also combos well with the admonition title, or Lando Calrissian, to give yet more defensive abilities that might keep your 30 firing that much longer. The weapons team slot also only has a couple of good options, since you're not going to be shooting at or using squadrons so much. Gunnery team is an interesting idea, but it's fairly expensive for a ship that could blow up at any moment, and you're not going to get much mileage out of it once you're up close, either. If I were going to take it, I'd only use it on the scout frigate when I'm running Akbar, which I'll talk about later. Mostly, though, you want to run ordnance experts in this slot. They're cheap, and they're insurance against a bad roll. Yeah, you may never get to use them, but the MC-30 is so vulnerable at close range, and I don't want to see my ship flying in, trying to sell itself as dearly as possible, and then whiff two of three black die rolls before it explodes next turn. Defensive retrofits are another slot I keep empty. Redundant shields are the only upgrade I'd even consider, but again, they're really pricey. ECMs aren't great because you've got duplicates of your defense tokens, so you're likely to have at least one up. Cluster bombs might get some use if there's a bomber that's plinking away at you, and advanced projectors are a no-go because you're not going to want to voluntarily remove shields from a 30. All of those things are edge cases that I can mitigate with better maneuvering or applying my forces better suited to the task, so again, I advise not taking anything. Ordnance upgrades naturally have a lot of options for the 30. Expanded launchers are pricey, but might work well on a torpedo frigate if you're good at double arcing. Rapid reload is also expensive, and buffs those wide side arcs, and would work well with a torpedo frigate getting up close. However, it's the usual gruesome twosome that I'll recommend every time, as they buff all your arcs and can be counted on to go off when coupled with ordnance experts. I prefer the protons over the ACMs myself, mostly due to cost and the mighty crit effects, but against some redirecting monster like an assault frigate, MC-80, or either flavor of Star Destroyer, ACMs could come in really handy to weaken all their important shields at once. Just always take protons if you're running Dodonna, and don't take anything if you're using Akbar scouts. Now here, we diverge between the two. For the scouts' turbo lasers, there's two I'd recommend above others, some conditionals, and some nevers. The two recommends are turbo laser reroutes and heavy turbo lasers. The reroutes will even out the spiky damage of the reds, and having two evade tokens makes this really powerful. The heavy turbo lasers edge out XI-7s for me due to the scout not being able to at all reliably drop accuracies to lock down the brace, but the XI-7s are a definite next pick if you have strong feelings or don't have HTTs. I might take H9s to try for an accuracy, but I think I'm better off going for straight damage with HTTs or TRCs. The rest are just plain don't takes. Enhanced arms are too expensive, and I'd rather make the most of what I have with TRCs, and slave turrets limit my options too much in case of an up-close double arcing. And XX9s might work well with Dodonna, but reds don't drop a lot of crits compared to a black die, so I'd rather use those 5 points and crit effects on assault proton torpedoes. The torpedo frigate doesn't have red dice, so putting TRCs on it is a bit of a waste as you lose the two-hit option. For them, the heavy turbo lasers or the XI-7s are the big dogs, though the H9s gain a little more potential, as with blue dice you're guaranteed two accuracies with them. Additionally, XX9s become a bit more attractive, but you're still better off odds-wise with the protons and ordnance experts. All of the other reasons I cited for the scout apply with regards to the rest of the upgrades. But above all else, you really, really need to look at the titles. Like the Nebulon B, the MC-30 is made whole by its titles, but for an entirely other reason. The Neb needs one to make it good at a roll. The 30 needs one to keep it alive. See, the 30's defensive tokens are 2 redirects and 2 evades. Evades work really well the farther you are from your target, but when a ship has black dice, you really want to get it in close to make the most of that shooting. Redirects are a nice thing to have on a ship that has some pretty solid shielding, but a couple of meaty hits will ruin your day. And if it takes a hit from XI-7s, well, that 30 is in for a very rough time. So what you end up with is a ship that can survive at long range, but wants to be in close, but handles damage up close only slightly better than a raider. That's why the titles are important. They're pricey, but to me, they're absolutely worth it. Admonition gives your 30 the ability to cancel out an enemy attack die by discarding a defense token, effectively giving a long-range evade even up close. That one die can make all the difference sometimes, and if you're close, you're probably not using those evades anyway. Remember that you can spend the token to gain its effect before you discard it, though. Foresight gives your defense tokens double their normal effect. Evades affect 2 dice, and you can redirect to the other adjacent hull zone as well. The advantages of this are obvious, but take note that by the wording of the XI-7 ruling, in addition to negating advanced projectors, it also negates admonition's ability. That a 6-point upgrade takes precedence over an 8-point title is one of my major sticking points with how bad that ruling is. But back to titles. Take one. They'll be the difference between your MC-30 going on a suicide run or sticking it out to get a second or even a third barrage in. With the right timing and application of weight of firepower, your opponent will have to devote serious resources to dealing with it, resources that they would rather use elsewhere. So, I've talked a bit about general tactics and how to keep your 30s alive long enough to matter, but how should you actually run them on the table? Well, I've found a couple of methods that have given me success, but they're really dependent on which commander you're using. The Scout Frigate, with its long-range reds, seems a bit schizophrenic on its face. Yeah, it can fire at long range, possibly while on the approach, but to get the most out of it, you want to be at close range since 2 dice isn't going to cut it on a ship that expensive. Either just buy a CR-90 and save some points, or spend a few more to get 3 reds in an assault frigate. However, if you run Admiral Akbar with it, it absolutely sings. A 4 red die broadside shot, 5 if you're concentrating fire, and you should be, is nothing to sneeze at, especially if you're using turbo laser reroutes. Your opponent won't be able to lay much of a finger on it in return due to those 2 evades and the titles doing their work, plus the redirects scattering what's left, so they might want to close in on it. And if they do, that's just gravy as the black dice start going to work, dealing the pulverizing hits alongside the hefty Akbar dice. If you're looking to save a few points, Dodonna can make a good replacement here. You gain the ability to run double arcs with the decent front zone, aided by the speed 3 double click, and with concentrate fire up, you boost 1 to a respectable 3. If you run Dodonna, absolutely take the reroutes to make your damage consistent, plus you can guarantee Dodonna crits when you need them. The Torpedo Frigate is also odd on its face because all of its firepower comes at a trade-off of losing the long-range evade abilities. You absolutely want to close with this variant, so the 2 commanders you should take with it are Mon Mothma to give those evades back their punch, and Riken, so you can rave your black dice in the air like you just don't care. Once you've closed, you want to just stay at speed 2 or 3 and loop around your target, peppering it with shots until they decide to devote enough resources to bring your 30 down. In general, I like to run my 30s with nothing but navigation commands until I'm about to engage with the enemy, at which point I switch to exclusively concentrate fire orders. If I'm trying to conserve points, or the 30 is the last ship I have, I might change over to an engineering order, but mostly I like to keep up the pressure with heavy hits. Absolutely do use one to get rid of a crit that's keeping you from blasting the enemy properly, of course. A good idea is to give it an engineering token in the first round. Typically, an MC-30 only has one side facing the enemy as it circles, so I use that token to pull 2 shields off the safe side to shore up the one that's taking hits. I've talked a bit about which commanders to take with an MC-30, but to be clear, there isn't a bad one to take. Mon Mothma, Akbar both give great synergy with them, and Riken and Dodonna work their usual magic. Garm isn't terrible, as Command 2 will get some use from him, but he's not the best either, and you can use those points toward an assault frigate that would get more from him. The MC-30 is a glass cannon. It packs a wallop, but it can't stand up to heavy hits. It needs a little tender, loving care to get good results, but if you can get a handle on its slightly janky maneuverability and the balance between range and best firepower results, it will perform amazingly well for you. Going into Wave 2, I didn't understand the 30, and I didn't like it too much as a result. But now that I've spent some time with it, it's one of my favorite ships. After the break, we'll be seeing Red with the first of my series on the objectives.
When Jim wants to play Armada, he heads down to Round the Table in Lynnwood, Washington. They have board games, a friendly and helpful staff, food, ice cream, and a rotating selection of beer and ciders, so you can loosen up and fly casual. Thursdays are X-Wing and Armada night, so come on down for a glass and a game and say hello. Find out more at www.rttgamepub.com.
We're back, and now it's time to talk Red objectives. For this new section, first, I'm going to talk about when you should take it in your lists, and some strategies to get the best use out of it when that mission is selected. Then, I'll briefly touch on ideas for when you should choose your opponent's objective. Let's get started. Up first, in no particular order, is one of my favorites, Most Wanted. When you should take it. Most Wanted is a mission that you really only want to take if you have a ship in your list that is both cheap and disposable. The obvious cheap ones are a Raider or CR-90, or looking toward Wave 3, one of the flotillas, but something like a naked Nebulon B or a Gladiator could also fit the bill. However, they also do need to be disposable. So what do I mean by disposable? Besides the literal meaning, I also mean not integral to your battle plan. If you have a Raider in your list, but it's the only counter to squadrons you have, it may not be a ship you want to be the target of this objective. Likewise, if the least expensive ship in your fleet is a Nebulon B, but that Neb is Yavaris and your list is built around fighters, Most Wanted is not the objective for you. Basically, if you can imagine your opponent looking across the table and saying, "But if I choose this objective, then they'll put it on that cheap zippy little bugger and I'll get hosed," then you've chosen well. How you should use it. The obvious strategy with Most Wanted is to choose your cheapest ship, and they're most expensive, and a lot of the time this works. However, something you should consider before making your choice is, what's the most important ship in the enemy fleet? Which ship would hurt their probable plan the most if they lose it? Yes, your opponent might have an ISD-2, which is just full of juicy points to double, and getting additional dice to kill it sure would help when you're chewing through all those shields and hull. But if they're also running Demolisher, you might forego the extra points in favor of making that the target ship. As I've said, killing a Gladiator is easier than you'd think, so instead of getting that marginal help against the ISD, you can destroy Demolisher that much faster, eliminating that nasty threat and allowing your fleet to focus more heavily on that ISD. Plus, a ship that's in the middle points range like Demolisher is could tempt your opponent to deny you the double points on it and have it stay away from the fight, and if they're taking that ship out of combat, then you don't have to deal with it and you still win. Maybe your opponent is taking two assault frigates, and one of them is kitted out as a carrier and there's a bunch of squadrons. Disrupt their plans by putting the objective on the carrier. Then they either play very conservatively with it to keep it on the board, potentially keeping it out of squadron order range, or it is destroyed faster and they lose the linchpin of their fleet. There are dozens of examples I could give, but the idea of it is clear. Don't always just go for the highest point ship your opponent has. For your own ship, which is both cheap and disposable, you have a couple of options. First, you can run your ship away from the fight. This is done both to try to deny your opponent the points, but also to see if you can get your opponent to send a ship out after it. If they do, they're taking one of their own out of the fight, ideally one that's higher points, and you can lead it on a merry chase. For this reason, I like to do this on a highly maneuverable and fast ship, like a Raider or CR-90, so that if they don't take the bait and try to send a ship after me, I can turn hard and speed up to get back into the fight quickly. Secondly, you can just use the ship as normal. This might surprise your opponent, particularly if you position your selected ship to look like it's going to barrel away from where the action will be, only to have it turn and burn to engage. I like doing this with nice cheap CR-90Bs, where I try to go after an objective ship with it because the points trade will likely be in my favor. You might also do this with a ship that would hang back a bit in more of a support role anyway, like a Nebulon with Redemption or a VSD carrier, letting a larger ship or the bulk of your fleet protect it. Then you give your opponent the hard choice of trying for the objective ship to gain the extra points, but ignoring your heavy hitters, or the opposite. Having a CR-90A with Jaina's Light is particularly annoying to do this with, especially when you hide it behind an MC-80 so you can fire through it. You can still do this, even with something like Demolisher. You'll just want to hide it for an extra turn behind something like an ISD, then peel it off to give a devastating barrage of black dice. Demolisher may be worth a fair chunk of points, but if you can trade it for pulling down a high-value enemy ship that much faster, you're coming out ahead. Trading your ship for the opportunity to table your opponent's fleet can be worth way more than just keeping a good point spread, so think carefully about how best to use your own objective ship. So when should you choose it? I wouldn't choose it if I had a fleet with only high points ships. Things like two ISD lists or all assault frigate lists will give up too many points and make it too easy for your opponent to cripple your fleet. Unlike most other missions, it gives full control over to your opponent for the selection of objectives, so even if you have a cheap ship, it's unlikely that it will ever get chosen. Because of this, I would typically only select it if the other choices were even worse for your list and you had at least three ships. If you do choose it, your opponent is going to expect you to play more conservatively with that ship. This may be exactly what you should do, depending on your strategy with your fleet. However, you may take them by surprise by gunning for them if they select a ship that can probably take a little extra punishment, especially if you can make it appear as if you're trying to keep your ship out of the fight. Another good tactic along that line is to use your chosen ship to lure them out of position. The enemy will likely focus in on your objective ship, which you could use to expose vulnerable side or rear arcs to the rest of your fleet. Imagine this situation. Your ship that's selected is an assault frigate. You place it to one side of the play space, but not too far from the center. Meanwhile, the rest of your fleet lines up on the opposite side of the center. Your opponent, looking for the quick kill, has positioned their ships with business ends towards your frigate. Your frigate moves in a high-speed arc that brings its broadside to bear after a turn or two, forcing your foe to either turn to keep the frigate at optimal range and arc, and allow the MC-30 and the Avaris with Bomber Wing to hit them in more vulnerable arcs, or ignore the frigate and try to wipe it out with weaker arcs, or split their forces. Yes, that's a fantasy scenario, but it's an example of forcing hard choices on your opponent that will be crucial to being on the defensive in Most Wanted. Keeping them from bringing their full weight of firepower on your objective ship consequence-free is going to be key to winning the day in any Most Wanted situation. Remember, a good opponent won't just go for your highest pointed ship. They're going to try to disrupt your attack plan by making you think twice about putting your linchpin ship where it can be shot at. Sometimes those are the same thing, but your job is to mitigate that vulnerability. You might try for a plan like I laid out above, or you might try to screen your ship with the rest of your fleet, and you can practice at doing that. But when it's time to play that match, you never know which of your ships will get chosen, or what will be on the other side of the table. It's for that reason that I don't like choosing Most Wanted, but you should absolutely have a general plan in mind for how you'll try to survive it. Well, I think I'm going to call it there for this episode. Next time, I'll continue talking about red objectives, maybe even get into the yellows. Please, let me know how you like the format of the objective talk, if you have any suggestions on how to improve it, or if you think it's just fine as is. Until then, you worry about those fighters, and I'll worry about the tower. Well, Admiral, what do you think?
It's a wrap!
Fire When Ready, a Star Wars Armada podcast, can be found at www.firewhenreadypodcast.com. Talk to me online on Twitter as @ArmadaJim or by email at jim@firewhenreadypodcast.com. All celebrity voices impersonated, all rights to the spoken content of this podcast are reserved.